Kia ora and welcome to Emrin's Podcast, episode 194. Today is Wednesday, January 27, 2010. Yesterday was Australia Day. It was just January 26th here in New Zealand, but there you go. Now, I just have a few odds and ends today to share with you today. And the first of them is that a radio DJ here in Auckland came out live on air. And I actually have a clip from that, and I'm going to play that now.
I must admit, this is a very hard thing for me to talk about, and for years I've never really mentioned it, but, you know, for my sake and for your sake, because we're all just friends here, I think it is time that I came clean. Yes, Regan is a dude. I am gay. I have been for a long time in a relationship with Regan, and I've never really talked about it too much on the air because I've never thought it was a huge deal, but as you trip through life, you know that, you know, time is passing you by fast, and you've got a lot of life to live, and to be honest with you, I don't need to hide it anymore because I'm comfortable with who I am. I have brilliant friends and family around me, and I thought today was the day that I let you all know that. So I am sorry if it upsets some of you. I'm sorry if it comes as a bit of a surprise as well. But I just thought that, you know, to make life easier for everyone, we should be honest, open, and just get it out there. So there you go, I've said it. And it's a tough thing to talk about.
Why is it a tough thing to talk about?
Because I just don't want people to judge me differently.
If people are going to judge you differently, who gives a shit about them?
True.
Really?
True. And, you know, I came from Gore, man, you know.
The radio host, whose name is Mike Puru, is on the Edge FM, which is based here in Auckland, but it broadcasts throughout the country. And, of course, this program was broadcast nationwide. And at the time, further on in the clip, you can hear that they're getting calls in from people who are really supportive. And when the video was first up on YouTube, there were supportive comments, which, if you know anything about YouTube and anything to do with gay people, is really unusual. But he apparently got good feedback. I have a video of that whole thing posted on my blog, although there's clips where he refers to what they talked about, and it's kind of you won't get the full picture unless you actually listen to the audio file, which is available through iTunes. It was just kind of interesting because it's not the sort of thing, literally, it's not the sort of thing you hear every day where a DJ comes out live on a nationwide radio broadcast. New Zealand has a bit of a unusual and uneven, I guess, relationship with openly gay people in the media, the broadcast media. On television, we have a program on TVNZ, on TV1, called Breakfast, which is just a morning news magazine type program. And their weather presenter is Tamati Coffey, who is openly gay. And I mentioned him before because he was the host, not host, he was a competitor on Dancing with the Stars, and he won it last year. And he gave his prize money to Rainbow Youth, which is a GLBT youth organization based here in Auckland, but it does some things in other parts of the country as well. And so that had a bit of a profile. And he had a bit of a profile as a result, but there was, you know, no big dramas about it or anything. It's not like he had fundamentalists marching in the streets or anything. He was just kind of, oh, okay, whatever. However, on the same network, but later at 9 to 12, it's basically a three-hour infomercial called Good Morning. It has a lot of infomercial segments that are broken up with some entertainment and interviews and chat and so on, cooking segments, craft segments, that kind of thing. And they had three co-hosts, one of whom, Steve Gray, was let go at the end of last year. At the time, TVNZ said it was due to budget cuts, and he couldn't comment because his contract ran until early January. Once his contract was up, he said that his producers told him that senior executives at TVNZ said that he should tone down his gayness. And he said he was offended by that, understandably, because he said it was like asking one of his Maori co-hosts to tone down their Maori-ness. And it's just absolutely absurd. Now, obviously, that gets into a he-said-he-said sort of situation. And since I don't have any independent information for either side, I'll take him at his word, I suppose, particularly because TVNZ now doesn't say that it was due to budget costs, but because they're rejigging the program or some such thing. Whatever. The point is that there are limits to how far broadcast television in particular will go. Not radio quite so much, but I mean radio isn't as big a medium as it used to be. But on television, TVNZ used to present the only GLBT program produced in New Zealand for New Zealand. And it's gone by a whole bunch of different names. I think it was called the Pink Triangle Report at one stage or something like that. Express Report. It was also called Q Nation, I think, or Queer Nation or something. I can't remember. Anyway, it's gone by a bunch of different names. It has been on always very late at night, sometimes 11:30 or later. And, you know, some people try to say, oh, that's not so bad because it means the closeted people can sneak down and watch it. Well, yeah, right, whatever. It's like making lemonade out of lemons, I think. But there, at present, there is no gay and lesbian programming on free-to-air television, and there hasn't been for maybe 3 or 4 years, maybe longer. And there's no plans to have anything at the moment. At the same time, however, free-to-air television has broadcast overseas programs. For instance, the original British series of Queer as Folk was broadcast free-to-air on one of the channels here, not TVNs, at a different one. And it's got some controversy, but not nearly as much as, say, Californication got. And TVNZ showed Rick and Steve animated thing on its TV2 channel. I think it was about 9:30 at night or thereabouts, maybe 10. At any rate, late enough that it was well into adults-only time, but it wasn't in the middle of the night like so many of their other things are. But it's not particularly an anti-gay thing. TVNZ has trouble knowing what to do with a lot of programming, including some really clearly quality programming they'll put on in the middle of the night when nobody's watching. So I think it's just poor programming decisions rather than anything specifically anti-gay. Nevertheless, it would be nice to see gay and lesbian people reflected a bit more on broadcast television here in New Zealand. I just don't see that happening anytime soon. But no, I just thought that was kind of interesting that there's this on-air coming out segment or what have you. Now, to introduce the next topic, I have a phone message.
Hey, Arthur, this is Ramble. Just wanted to give you a quick call. I was reading this, basically a trivia book. It's called The Uncle John's Triumphant 20th Anniversary Bathroom Meter. And it's a book about all this crazy trivia and stuff like that. And inside the book, it says, Uncle John's Stall of Fame. It says, we're always amazed by the creative ways people get involved with bathrooms, toilets, toilet paper, etc. And the very first one they have is an honoree called the City of Auckland, New Zealand. It says, notable achievement converting sewage into parkland. It says, it's a true story. Auckland has figured out a unique way to recycle 60,000 tons of recycled biosolids, treated human waste, building up in its sewage treatment facility. They plan to fill up 30,000-year-old volcano called Puketutu, P-U-K-E-T-U-T-U Island, with the human waste and turn it into a regional park. Scheduled to last from 2011 to 2041, the dumping will cost around $25 million, including the price of building the park. Many local residents are understandably apprehensive about a mountain-sized poo park that could potentially erupt. But Ian Smith, an Auckland University volcanologist, assured that the volcano no longer poses any danger and that the treated waste didn't smell bad anymore. I think it's pretty safe, he said. So I just thought I'd give you a quick call and say, is that true? Are you going to have a big mountain of poo? Anyway, I just thought I'd say hi and hope you're doing well, and I'll talk to you later. Bye. And by the way, happy belated birthday wishes. Goodbye.
Well, thanks for that, Tom. And actually, yes, that is a true story. I actually blogged about this originally back in April of 2007, and it's a short blog post, so I think I'll just read it. The blog post was entitled, A Big Pile of It. I couldn't make this up if I tried. An Auckland company has proposed filling a quarried volcano with treated human waste. Once filled and shaped to mimic the original look of the cone, the area would be rehabilitated and turned into a regional park. Watercare Services, owned by local governments in the Auckland region, proposed this as a way of dealing with the 61 tons of biosolids, cleaned, treated, and dried human waste, produced each week at its Mangere treatment plant. A volcanologist with Auckland University has helpfully reassured Aucklanders that they're unlikely to have biosolids raining down on them in the event of an eruption, because the next one will almost definitely form a new volcano rather than come from any existing one. If this project goes ahead, it'll probably be the first time that government has deliberately set out to create a big pile of shit. I had to read it because anyway. So, yes, the story is basically true, but I don't know if anything was ever done about making it happen. I'll put a link in the show notes to the Water Care Services site so you can see for yourself, and also for Puketutu Island, which, by the way, is how that's pronounced. Puke, P-U-K-E, is Māori for hill. And they think the name was the hill of Tutu, which is kind of a bush. At any rate, the island has been quarried, and which is why they want to put the wastes in there to fill it up again, has been quarried, and part of it is used for movie sets, of all things. It's privately owned. I'll have a link for that as well. So I don't know. There's no mention on this on the site for the island or even for Water Care Services as to whether or not this is actually going ahead. So, heck if I know. But the original story was true. Whether or not it actually came to be or not, that I don't know. But yeah, it's a long way to go to get there. Now I'm going over the written comments. And first up was Archer, who said, "So sorry I missed giving you birthday wishes. Hope you had a wonderful birthday." And I did, Archer. Thank you very much. Next up was Roger Green, who said, "You may find the comments regarding the KFC piece interesting," and he provides a link to Racialicious. One comment noted that, quote, "White Americans do not actively differentiate between the nationalities of blacks. So yes, the stereotypes are applied to West Indies, individuals from African nations, etc., unless we open our mouths and verbally express that we are not African American. All that is seen is the skin color, and that is enough for stereotypes to be applied." And Roger adds, true enough, which is. The person who posted that said that they were from Jamaica, I think it was. Anyway, somewhere in the West Indies. But that's the important part was in the first two words, white Americans. It's true that white Americans probably don't actively differentiate between different kinds of black people. But that doesn't mean that it's true in other parts of the world. And as I read through some of the comments, I quite literally kept saying back to the computer out loud, you know, well, I won't say what I was saying, but it wasn't pleasant. I couldn't believe how ignorant some of those people were. The argument boiled down to this. KFC is an American company. Therefore, American rules apply in other countries like Australia. That Australians should have known about American sensibilities and should have bowed before American sensibilities. That's what it boils down to. Let me set the record straight. KFC is an American brand, but it is not an American company outside of the U.S. They sell a master franchise to a country to some other company. In New Zealand, KFC is owned by a company called Restaurant Brands, which is listed on the New Zealand Stock Exchange. And it is not. It has a license to use the brand, the methods, all those sorts of things here in New Zealand, but it is not American-owned. And for that matter, KFC in America is probably not American-owned. If you looked at their share register, you'd probably find that certainly a huge chunk, maybe even a majority of their shares, are owned by overseas interests, or trust funds, banks, pension funds, whatever. The point is that just because it's headquartered in America doesn't make it an American company. But the point here is that KFC in Australia is an Australian company that uses an American name and American methods and so on. They also used Australian advertising agency. The gist of the comments seemed to be that they should have checked with America to see if it was okay to do this. Well, why? America doesn't check with Germany to see if they can run an ad. Why should Australia check with America to see if it's okay? That doesn't make any kind of sense. That's cultural imperialism is what it is. Also, they seem to be suggesting that the people in Australia, the people making the ad and so on, should have known about American racist stereotypes. And that's just plain absurd. I would bet you anything that the average American knows nothing about racial stereotypes in Australia or New Zealand or Japan or anywhere else. They only know about their own. Why on earth do they think that we outside of the U.S. or people outside of the U.S. would know about American racial stereotypes? It's just absurd. Not every stereotype makes it into pop culture. And if it doesn't make it into pop culture, it's not going to make it into this part of the world. It's arrogant to assume that people in the rest of the world are going to know anything about the cultural nuances of America. It's just, America is not that important to the rest of the world as far as things like that go. And it's going to come as a shock to some people, and this will be an even bigger shock, but the rest of the world doesn't spend 24/7 thinking about the U.S. and the way it does things. You know, I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. But hopefully that'll be among the last I'll say about that. But the people who were commenting so violently, or not violently, that's not the right word, so adamantly against the commercial on that site. Most of them didn't know what they were talking about. They were cultural imperialists in, demanding that other countries bow before the U.S. and its ways. And one other commenter brought up something that I didn't, and that is that this particular commercial was part of its own series about cricket survival, and this same guy is giving fried chicken to a whole bunch of different people in different commercials, including white folks. So it wasn't specifically directed at black folks in any case. But and I hope that that will be the last I have to say about this. But it annoys me when Americans assume that the rest of the world should do everything the way America wants them to do it, because it's not right. It's imperialist, and it's narrow-minded and blinded, in my opinion. The final comment was from Michael in Stuttgart, who said, "Happy belated birthday, Arthur. Herzliche Glückwünsche zum Geburtstag, mein Lieber." And you can translate that yourself. although I know what it means, unusually, but I do. Anyway, due to the very different time zones, my wishes may be rather late at your side, but they go out in a still acceptable time frame. Get well soon, dear friend, and thank you so much for all the great work you do with Amarins and the Two Political. I really enjoy listening to you. XO Michael. P.S. My silly cousin from the Faroes sends her love as well. And he's referring to Kim Beaver from Kim Beaver's Lodge. There's a link to that site on both my blog and my podcast site. And also to Michael's. It's actually called Blogterium, which is in German. And if you don't understand German, then you probably won't get much out of it. vielen Dank, Michael. And talking about getting well, I just would like to add that the gout is in remission now. It's starting to finally wane. I haven't had to use my crutch for the past 3 or 4 days, so that's all good. A couple more days and I should be pretty much back to normal. Well, as far as I can be. I am cutting this episode a bit short because Jason and I are due to record a Two Political podcast later today, and I wanted to not get my voice all worn out ahead of time. So, thanks for listening to this episode. I will be back probably not until next week. And in that event, have a great rest of the week, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Oh, one last thing. Happy 40th to David, that blue jeans guy. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amarins Podcast at amarinspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amarinspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.